Well, I am excited to be, as I shared earlier, continuing our Do the New You series. And today we're into our fourth mindset of the series. And I'm really excited about this one. But let me start by reading my key verse here today. It's found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. And the author here, we don't know exactly who the author is, but this is like the closing remarks of the entire letter. This is the last chapter of the letter, and this is the last few verses of the letter. And he closes up the whole letter to the people saying, may he, talking about God, equip you. I want everyone to say that, equip you. So may God equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you. Everyone say, produce in me. Through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I want to unpack this verse for us here this morning. And I know that this is going to encourage many people as it encouraged me. And here's the mindset, okay? You got your pen out, you got your paper ready, got your fingers ready for your notes. If you got an iPhone right now, just like turn it off, put it in your bag, make plans to go to Optus and go get a Samsung. But whatever you need to do right now, get your Samsung out, get your Google phone out. Here's the mindset. I just lost half the room. God has given me everything I need for the season I'm in. Here's the mindset. And here's the truth for you and I here today. God has given me, he's talking to you. God has given us everything we need for the season we are in. This is going to be so encouraging. Life is full of seasons. We all go through different seasons. In fact, it says in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, the wisest man who ever lived other than Jesus wrote, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under the sun. So there are seasons in our life. And what I've come to discover in my own life is that God is sovereign over every season. Yeah. You and I are never in a season by mistake. We're never in a season that God didn't plan for. And as believers, we walk through many different seasons. And I wish I could stand here and say that every single season is going to be awesome. But if you've been following Jesus more than a year, you already have learned probably, as I learned, that we go through seasons that are filled with joy, and then we also will go through seasons that are challenging. We will go through seasons of blessing and favor where it just seems like God's opening every door and it's the best. And then we'll go through a season of trial, a season of testing. There are joyful seasons, painful seasons. King Solomon said it, there is a season for everything under the sun. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. It's not like good times are the only thing, but we will all go through challenging times. And it's not biblical that you or I would expect an easy or pain-free life. Just like we don't live in a permanent summer. And oh man, I wish we lived in a permanent summer. How good is Melbourne in summer? And yeah, some people are shaking your heads. Wow, okay, we got some winter lovers. But just like God created the earth, right? We go from summer and then we go into autumn and then we go into winter. And maybe you feel like you're in a bit of a winter season in this moment in your life. But the good news is every winter always comes to an end and we find spring and we come back to summer. Life is full of seasons. How do you and I respond when we walk through the winter seasons? We can't control the seasons of life that we are in or walk through, but we can control how we respond in those tough seasons. And here today, I want you to reflect with me, to frame up this entire message, what God wants to speak to you this morning. Can I ask everyone here, what season are you in right now? Not what season were you in 5 years ago or last year, but just to reflect with the Holy Spirit. Let him speak to you and I this morning. What season are you in right now? As I said, maybe there are people here who are in a season of immense blessing and favor and joy and rest, and that's amazing. But I know there will also be people here who are in seasons maybe where finances are causing a lot of stress, causing sleepless nights. Maybe you're in a season where you feel confused, you feel lost, you don't know what the next step for you to take is. Maybe you're in a season where you feel exhausted all the time and just can't seem to find enough time to do everything that life is demanding of you. What season are you in? And the good news is that no matter what season you're in, and I'm in, God sees us. God knows exactly the season you are in. He knows exactly where we are. He is with us in the very season we're walking through. And the good news here is that God has given us every single thing we need for the season we are in. I want you to say that after me, to get this. Steve talked about our confession. I want you to declare this, confess this over your life. Say, God has given me everything I need for the season I'm in. That is such a powerful truth. It is such a powerful mindset, and I'm going to unpack that. But right now, wherever you find yourself, can I tell you, God is with you exactly where you are, and He has already given you. You have within your hands every single thing you and I need to get through the season we are in. It covers every season, everyone, in Jesus' name. And I hope that brings comfort to your heart, because I know for me it does. And I want to bring us back to this verse where I started, the author of Hebrews. Let's go back to straight to verse 21. May He equip you with all you need for doing His will. And so just press pause there. You can keep the verse behind me, but how awesome is this promise and this prayer that He's praying over God's people, that God would equip you with every single thing you need to do His will. And here's the not as fun part, but as equally powerful, may He produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ every good thing that is pleasing to Him. And here, there are my two thoughts today. I'm going to unpack number one. He has equipped us with everything we need, but He's also producing in us things that He needs us to grow in. And I hope this encourages you. So we're going to look, excuse my voice, everyone, at a person in the Bible named Joseph. And if you've never heard of who Joseph is, we read his story in Genesis chapter 37, all the way through to Genesis 50. We know of Abraham in the Bible. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob became Israel. Israel had 12 sons, and Joseph is one of Jacob's 12 sons. He's actually the favored son. He was Jacob's favorite. And I don't know, parents, are you allowed to have favorites? I don't think you should, right? No, I'm getting all the mums like, no, what were you doing, Jacob? And it did cause a bit of trouble. But I encourage everyone, if this message speaks to you, go home and read the whole passage of Scripture. Obviously, for time's sake, I can't read 13 chapters of Scripture. But let me do my best to give you a quick summary of five seasons Joseph found himself in. And there were more. But number one, we pick up where Joseph is the favored son. He has 11 siblings. How crazy is that? And he has the coat of many colors. He is his father's favorite. And not only that, he is the favored son and a dreamer. He is a dreamer. He received a dream from God to where his 11 brothers bowed down to him. He received a dream from God that he was going to be a ruler, a leader, a king, and do great things. So that's one season. And then he finds himself in the pit, season number two. This is where his brothers hated him, because he was favored, because he had a dream, and he didn't handle that dream very well. In fact, he was quite arrogant and cocky and told his brothers, "You're all going to bow down to me." Like, not cool, right? But anyway, and so they actually dig a pit and throw him in there, and that's where he finds himself. Number three is Potiphar's house. So Joseph not only got betrayed by his brothers and thrown in a pit to die, they then sell him into slavery, and he goes all the way to Egypt, and a man named Potiphar buys him, and he becomes a slave in Potiphar's house. Number four is the prison. He gets falsely accused of trying to do inappropriate stuff with Potiphar's wife, and it wasn't true. And so poor Joseph gets falsely accused and then finds himself in rotting in a prison where pretty much he was going to die. That's the kind of prison it was. And number five, the last final miracle one, he literally in a moment, God elevates him from the prison where he was bound to die to Pharaoh's house, and he became the second in charge of the greatest and strongest nation of that time, the nation of Egypt, in a moment. And isn't that incredible? So that's five seasons Joseph went in. And what I find so interesting is Joseph received this dream. And he goes through all these seasons, but how often do you and I feel like when we receive a promise from God, a dream from God, a word from God, wouldn't it be awesome if it's like, well, the next season we go into is just straight into the promise? Wouldn't that be awesome? And sometimes maybe that happens. That's great. But my journey has been similar to Joseph. Often we receive a dream. We receive a vision. We receive a promise. We receive a destiny. And poor Joseph, he gets this dream, and then next minute, life just begins to take him everywhere. Like, can you imagine Joseph's like, what the heck, God? You give me this great dream about doing something awesome for you, and I find myself in a pit. And not just in a pit. I can imagine him in the pit going, oh, surely God's going to deliver me from this. Maybe this is my moment. And then he finds himself as a slave in Potiphar's house. And then can you just imagine Joseph going, what? Come on, God. Like, all right, I get it. You're growing me. I'm doing my thing. And then next minute, he doesn't get elevated. He goes straight even further down. And God's mathematics often is different to ours, right? God's timeline is often different. In fact, in the natural, it looks like Joseph is just taking big step backwards, doesn't it? Like, you can't get much further from the palace than in the prison. Often it's the darkest times in our life are just before the greatest breakthrough. Joseph was rotting away in a prison in the will of God. And in a moment, he goes from the prison to the palace. And God is the God who can do that in our life. We cannot control the season we're in, but we can control how we respond to it. And what was amazing for Joseph, talking about seasons, is from the moment he received this promise and dream, guess how many years it was until after all the zigzagging of life's season? It was over 13 years until he was in Pharaoh's house. 13 years, seasons. And God wasn't cruel. I'm gonna encourage us in that. But what was God doing in those seasons? What's God doing in you and I when we find ourselves in one of those seasons that isn't the most pleasant? The first thought out of Hebrews was he will equip us. Everyone say it again. Say, equip me. And what I want us to notice is in Joseph's seasons, God equipped him with all he needed during the season and also equipped him with exactly what he needed to get through the season. There's so many amazing moments where he was equipped with everything he needed in the pit, in the prison, in the palace. He was equipped all the way through. Let's pick up together just an example in Genesis 39, verse 2 to 6. This is when he was in Potiphar's house. Read this. It's amazing. Read along with me. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and as he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his entire household and entrusted to his care everything he owned. And it just goes on and on. That isn't that amazing? Even when Joseph was in the season going, what the heck? What's happening? I'm a slave right now. God blessed him in that season. God was with him and equipped him with all he needed. Then we read again when he was in prison in verse 20 to 23. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoner were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, how good is this? The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So once again, what happens? The warden puts Joseph in charge of all those held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. That is amazing. And so the truth I want you and I to get out of this in our own life is Whatever season we find ourselves in today, God is with us. There's not one season where he isn't with us. And poor Joseph must have felt so lonely at times wrestling with God. But I believe Joseph felt the presence of God in every season. And no matter what season Joseph was in, God was with him. God prospered him. God gave him favor. God blessed him. But more than anything, God made a way forward for him to get through that season. Joseph showed that in every phase of his life, God equipped him with what was necessary for two areas. Number one, to sustain him. 13 years is a long time. Like 13 years is a long time to be away from family, to be, you know, a slave, a prisoner. And I can just imagine God every day equipped him with what he needed to sustain him, but then found a way forward. But I noticed that, and I know it's the same in our life, is Joseph didn't just sit back and go, well, God, you're going to equip me. You do everything for me. I imagine Joseph had to put in the hard work. He had to keep his heart right. He had to stay close to God. And so you and I, when we're in these seasons, although God has equipped us with all we need, that doesn't mean you and I just take a sit down and do nothing. It means you and I continually pursue God. We continually go after him. We put in the work. We fight the temptation to become a victim. And if anyone could have been a victim, it was Joseph. Can't you imagine the temptation in his heart to get bitter towards God and bitter towards his brothers and bitter towards life? But I don't sense that at all through the scripture. I sense a man of God who just stayed close to Jesus and said, you know what? I can't control the season I'm in, but I refuse to be a victim. I'm going to keep following God, keep trusting him in the process. I know he will deliver me from this. Amen? Amen. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. We don't let our seasons define us. We let God's word define us. So for you and I, what does this look like? How do we step into the equipping in the season we are in? Well, number one, what I know Joseph would have done and what you and I need to do is we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. See, this whole mindset is God has given you everything you need. It begins and ends with God. It's not that you have given you everything you need. I have given myself everything I need. It's God has. And so you and I need to keep our eyes on the Lord when we're in these, every season, but particularly challenging seasons. We don't need to get our eyes stuck on the season, stuck on the pain, stuck on the victim. Like we need to go, Lord, in this season, I keep my eyes on you. And number two, we need to receive what you need. I want you to imagine someone bought you a gift and it had your name on it. It was a very meaningful gift. It's something you desperately needed. And they wrap it up. They come to your house. They drop it off. They give you a hug and the gift's now in your house. But who knows? I know this sounds stupid, but often it's actually what we can act like in our life is imagine if we go and put that gift in the corner and we never open it. We never receive it. Well, then the gift will never truly be ours until you and I take a hold of it. I was actually reading a story during the week of a man or a woman. They didn't know. This was just last year, one of the biggest lottery winnings in the history of America. It was the fifth biggest of $1.128 billion. Come on, who knows? That's a good day when you get that in your lottery. But how's this? The numbers were called. Someone had the numbers, but no one called up to receive it. 2 months go by, 4 months go by, 6 months go by. Now, I know once again, stupid question, but was that man or woman were they any richer than when they began? Not yet, they hadn't received it. And in this story, 7, 8, 9 months later, someone found their ticket and actually rang up and it was theirs and they received $1.128 billion. But to receive it, they had to like take the step and take it from God. Well, yeah, in this scenario. And so I remember in the middle of lockdown, sorry to say that word, I remember a season where I was in a bit of a, like, you know how we have those seasons where we're just struggling. And I remember I just needed to go for a walk and find God. I'd been struggling for weeks, even months on end. And I will never forget it. I was in within my 5 kilometer limit going for a legal walk for 2 hours by myself with no one in my bubble. And anyway, sorry, just triggering everyone. Anyway, I was going for a walk And I just sat down and I just wept out to God. I was just in one of those seasons and I'm just weeping on God. I feel like you've abandoned me. Where are you? I can't hear you. What are you doing? And God just gave me this picture of a boat. And there's a story of the disciples when there was a storm around them and they were freaking out. They were worried they were going to die. And I got just this picture of Jesus in the boat with me. And I just heard the whisper of God say, Daniel, I am with you. You just need to turn to me. See, Jesus is in your boat and he's in my boat. But it's up to us whether we wake him when we're in the storm. And so often we feel in life abandoned. We feel alone. We're wrestling going, where are you, God? Why have you forsaken me? And this whole time, he's asleep in our boat, just waiting for you and I to wake him to receive what he wants to give us. And in my life, I needed God to remind me that, Dan, hey, I have peace available for you every day, but you need to pray. I have strength available for you every day, but you need to wait for me. And there was a holy wake-up call for me where I was like, all right, I need to wake up Jesus in my boat. And I started to take some steps around turning to him and receiving from him. And that was the key that I broke through that season I was in. So in the middle of the storms of life, in the middle of the season you are in right now, there is peace available, but you and I need to turn to God to receive it. There is joy available in the middle of your pain, but you have to turn to God to receive it. There is strength and grace available in the middle of your exhaustion and weariness, but you and I need to turn to God. So he has already equipped us, given us everything we need for the season we're in. But you and I, just like that lottery ticket man, we need to check it in. We need to turn to God every day, keep our eyes on him and receive what he wants to give us. And I hope that encourages us. Maybe today is a holy wake-up call for a few people like I had in that moment on that walk. Jesus is with us in the boat. He has given us everything we need. There is nothing greater than the peace he has available for you and I. There's no storm we can come against. There's no season you're in and that is greater than what God has offered to give us freely. And number two, he will equip us. And then the writer of Hebrews says, may he produce in us what is pleasing to him. Do you know the truth I've learned about the Lord is he is often more interested in what he's doing in us than what he is doing through us. We are all on a lifelong journey of becoming more like Jesus. That's the path of a disciple. A disciple is a fully immersed, fully surrendered follower of Jesus. And what that looks like is you and I are becoming more and more and more like Jesus every day, every week, every month. And that the journey of a disciple is, I've discovered most often we have those moments of discipleship, those moments of becoming like Jesus. I don't know about you, but I found for me, they happen more in challenging seasons than in the good seasons. And this verse, it's one of the most annoying, you know those annoying verses that like you know are true? Let's go there in James chapter 1, 2 verse 4. This is mind-blowing. James is writing, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Like just pressing pause there, like don't you think James is a little crazy? Has he gone a little bit whack job on us? He's saying, guys, consider it joy. Like jump up and down when you are going through a trial and a time of testing. It's great. Like what the heck? Let's keep reading. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces, there's that word, say produces. It produces perseverance, character trait. Let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It's very hard to grow in our maturity as a disciple unless we walk through trials and testing. It's very hard to grow in our heart and to become more like Christ, except those moments happen when the pressure comes on because of what it produces. Preparation can be painful, but it is pertinent. For us to do anything great for God, for you and I to become the husband, the wife, the mum, the dad, the leader, the business, like for us to become who God has called us to be, it takes preparation. Yeah. And this is what God was doing in Joseph. Because who you are in the future, if you get a glimpse of who you are in 10 years' time, can I tell you, who we are today is too small for what God has for us tomorrow. And this is the thing. Joseph receives this massive dream of influence where he was literally going to shape the course of history for Egypt and Pharaoh and save an entire people. Come on, it was a big calling. And God gives Joseph a big calling when he is in small in his capacity and character. And the calling would have killed him. At that time, if he didn't have that season of preparation, it actually would have destroyed him. Because who we are today, who you and I are today, is too small for what God has for us tomorrow. And so God is working in us at all times to out of his grace and his love for us, he's strengthening the man of God. He's building the woman of God. He's building our capacity. He's strengthening our heart. Why? Because out of his love, he wants you and I to become who we're called to do. Who you are in 5 years' time, come on, is bigger than who you are today. I declare over you, your prayer life will be deeper. Your word life will be deeper. Your capacity will be enlarged. Come on, you'll be able to carry more for God and your family than who you are today. So why? Why did God do this to Joseph? Well, Psalm 105:19, the psalmist gives us this little random glimpse. I love how the Bible does this as I invite the band up. It says, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. And the psalmist is actually referring to Joseph. You can read that. And isn't this amazing? So Joseph's over here and receives this word. But until the time of that word came to pass, God tested him. And this word test is the Hebrew, it's similar to the word tried. I'm not even going to try to say it. Rough. But it meant in the Hebrew to fuse metal, to refine, to crush, to melt, to purify. The Bible talks time and time again that he is the potter, we are the clay, and he is interested in purifying us like gold. And back when the psalmist wrote this, how they would purify gold is gold would be put into the furnace. Gold would be put into the fire. Maybe your season right now, you feel like you're in the furnace. Maybe you feel like you're in the fire. And it's like, man, this season's hard. Man, it just seems too much for me to bear. Man, I'm so out of my comfort zone. But let me tell you what would happen in that furnace. The fire would cause the impurities to rise to the surface, making it easier to remove. So God is always removing things from our heart in those seasons. See, Joseph needed some work on the man he was. And where did God do that work? He did it in the pit. He did it in Potiphar's house. He did it in the prison. The whole time he was preparing his heart. The gold would then get crushed into powder. Maybe in your season, you feel there's crushing going on. The gold would then get frequent washings, the word of the Lord washing our hearts. It would then go into the furnace again. Woo! And the more it went through this process, the purer it would become. See, why did James say, guys, consider it joy when we go through seasons of trial, seasons of testing, seasons of winter? Why? Because of what it produces in us. And the most powerful question you and I can ask ourselves in a season of testing is this: God, what are you doing in me? God, what are you producing in me? And I look through my personal life and there have been so many seasons of great joy. As I shared at the start, we all go through all seasons. I reflect on some with a smile and laughter. And of course, there's been seasons of testing. But I look back and I go, every single season of trial and testing, God was producing something in me. And although I was walking through the furnace, although I was walking through the fire, although it felt like I was being crushed at times, can I tell you, I've never not been grateful for what I walked through because of what it produced in me. I came out of the fire closer to Jesus than I was when I went in. God has never put a season in our life out of cruelty, to destroy us. In fact, it's the absolute opposite. It's out of His grace and His love, because He is forming us into the man and woman He's called us to be. So God, what are You doing in my heart right now? What are You doing in my life right now? And often the sooner we can come to that answer and obey it, the quicker that season will end. The Israelites were stuck in the season of wilderness for 40 years. Why? Disobedience. So can I encourage us, guys? Let God produce in you what He's trying to. He's looking at our heart, purifying our character, developing us. Every season has a purpose, even the painful ones. And I just want to end with this thought, that the pit didn't cancel the promise for Joseph. It actually prepared him for it. The prison didn't cancel the dream. It prepared him for it. Potiphar's house was designed to prepare him for Pharaoh's house. And I prophesy that over your life, whatever you're walking through right now. If you're in a tough season, can I tell you, it was not designed to destroy you. In fact, God is with you and God is doing something in you, and it's not going to cancel what is ahead. It is going to prepare you. It's going to launch you into the man and the woman that He has called you to become. And that season will end. The story doesn't end with Joseph in a pit, people. The story doesn't end with Joseph in a prison. Come on, where does the story end? It ends with Joseph looking behind with victory in his heart, that he overcame every challenging season and he ended up at his destiny. He ended up at his purpose and he fulfilled the word God spoke over him. And I just feel to encourage some people here today. You will fulfill the word He has put in your heart. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Come on, you will overcome every single thing coming against you right now in Jesus' name. But you and I need to turn to God. Can we just close our eyes in our seats? Let this word settle in your heart. I feel so strong the Holy Spirit speaking to people. I just have an unction to pray for those who feel they are in that tough season. And that season of testing, that season of trial, that season Joseph found himself in. If that's you, just wherever you are, just right in your seat, just stand up and I'm going to pray over you. Whoever that is, if you're in a challenging season, if you're in a season that feels like you're being purified, if you're in a season where you need God to equip you with everything that you need, just stand. I'm going to pray over you. And what I ask is, if you're not standing, we're a family here. Can you reach your hands out to someone around you who is? Come on, the Holy Spirit is about to shift things in people's hearts. He's about to shift people into a new season. He's about to shift demonic spirits that have been assigned against people to harass them. So come on, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray over every single person standing. Lord, I prophesy, I declare Your word, You will equip them with everything they need to do Your will. I declare You are producing in them the character and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He who began a good work in their life will bring it to completion. So I just right now bind the enemy. I resist every demonic assignment against them. And I release the power of the Holy Spirit to break through, God, give them strength in the battle. God, give them strength in the trial. God, give them strength in this season. And Father, right now I thank You. Give them a vision of hope for the future. Can we all just, especially if you're standing, just put your heart in a receiving posture. Here's what I see. God is giving you right now what you need. Is it peace? Just receive it. Strength? Receive it. Supernaturally, things are transacting right now. But I see vision coming of the future. I see people in the prison getting a vision of Pharaoh's house. I see people in the bits of a battle getting a vision of the victory. I release that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Church, can we give the Lord a great hand together? Isn't He good? And I really hope you feel encouraged today. Come on, God has given you, God has given me everything we need for the season we're in. And whatever you're walking through, you'll get to the other side. Amen? Amen. Well, God bless you, church. I'm going to hand over to a wonderful leader. Can we give a massive hand to Mahala as she comes up?